Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing Dynasty Tiers Tight End Edition. And I'll say, I think there's a lot of sameness at the position in terms of like the middle tier. In terms of some of the, call it the low end tight end one through mid tight end two. I don't think there's a ton in terms of investment that truly distinguishes itself or anyone that truly distinguishes themselves amongst that tier or group, I should say, that range of the draft. So I think you pick your spots, and be selective in there. And maybe the situation is you don't necessarily go for one of the top guys in that range, but you go through and you hit two of the later ones, right? You can do that. I'm not sure how big of a difference it's going to be ultimately when you sort of look. That's a very flat range of the position. So same principles generally apply, right? High draft pedigree is good. Head on experience progress is good. And then, you know, you're kind of going from there and hoping for variance is really it. Unless you see a huge volume situation, unless there's a Hockenson type situation where you can see a $120, a $130 in terms of healthy targets, you know, him staying healthy and getting those 8 per game, right? That's something that I think we need to hunt for. There's not very many situations out there, right? So that would be the thing that I would say. So we'll walk down the tiers and sort of how they're aligned on the tier sheet itself and talk about them. So the fact that Travis Kelce is like the same age as Rob Gronkowski, just given what their career arcs have been, is just fascinating. Kelce's got 6 top 6 finishes. Gronkowski has 5. Gronkowski tight end 8 last year. I'm on board with him being a low-end tight end 1 again. Right? I think that at his cost, it's tight end 29. Like, that smashes success. Right? That's a smash situation. So if you're looking to sort of fill in the gap, you know, fill in a hole at tight end, he's fine to do it with. I think at a cheaper, at an even cheaper rate, go 8 rounds later, which is incredible to say. Jimmy Graham, I don't necessarily think it's going to be, you know, he finished his tight end 13 last year. He had a pretty close to half and half share as the season closed out. It you know, trended more towards Kmet a little bit. I'm not necessarily sure that Kmet puts him away or that this offense is structured in a way receiver-wise that Graham is irrelevant. So what do we say? Basically, the formula for these guys is high-end producers and situations where they still have targets, they're probably going to produce. That is it. And again, it's probably a capped upside situation. I don't see a tight end 3 finishing his range of outcomes from a physical, from an overt talent, or from a demanding net amount of targets type of situation. But again, if you're looking for that high-end tight end 2, there's a lot of different ways to get it, which sort of gives me a little bit of caution in why we would pay up for players in that range. I mean, you can basically, you can kind of do this thing over and over again as you go along at the tight end position, and maybe we'll age out of that advanced generation and maybe there's a little bit of a gap there. But that's the thing that I keep seeing is some of these guys popping up. I mean, Ertz is the same thing. Ertz is much more expensive and still 18th in terms of real draft position, whereas Gronkowski's 29th and Graham is 50th. So at the cost, give me Graham at 50th instead of Ertz. Although I do think Ertz, you know, I've done him as throw-in and deals. You know, I don't think he's that great of an overt talent, but he gets targets, and that's helpful. So I do think it's an interesting – Kelce's an interesting debate because – this harkens back to something I wrote about in the book, which is he's very much a, and I was having a conversation with a subscriber recently about it. He's very much a you need to, if you go that route in a startup draft, you have to draft differently. You have to make different bets, right? You have to sort of play in a now type window. His advantage is massive, but if you're backfilling with unproductive wide receivers, right, in the near term, that's just, you're wasting it, right? So you need to be shooting for high end production early in your dynasty arc if that's where you are going to address the position, especially early. So that's sort of my take on Kelce. I'm not anti-Kelce, but I think you need to, if you're going to go that route, and if you're thinking about going that route pre-draft, think a lot and think hard about how you're going to build that team. Think a lot about how you're going to build and do a contingency. And really think about it. If you're in a startup draft, if you're thinking about Kelce as a cornerstone, you're talking first, you know, first two rounds, right? He's going 212. If you're going to do that, if you're going to sort of be in that window, build out that team a little bit. Think about it, you know, write it down, sort of see how you're going to sort of backfill that. And maybe that's backfilling, you know, maybe you stack up later on David Johnson, Melvin Gordon. You know, you're taking deeper shots on guys like Julio Jones. You take that sort of track instead of taking in that range Damian Harris or taking, you know, AJ Dillon in that range, for example. That's, you're got to make a different type of bet. So that would just be the thought that I would have in terms of that. I'm not anti the idea, but I do think you have to be very, very real with yourself about how you're building that team before you do that. So that's that. All right. So in multiple top six finishers, 28 years of age or younger, Waller was actually in this tier, and I had to move him up. I had an incorrect age. I think I had him at 28, or there was a math problem with the sheet. So he's actually in the 29 range. So he's up there with those other guys. And that's a little bit ahead of, a Kittle in terms of age. But the one thing I would say about those guys is outside of age, I'm not sure the case for this is a clear Kittle over Waller situation. I'm just not sure that I see that. Both of them, two top 12, two top six finishes. Waller coming off a tight end two finish, which is the best that either of them have done. You know, I sort of look at that and I say, what's the big disparity? I think it's the experience, right? It's the, hey, he's been around longer. But, you know, when you sort of discount for that a little bit because, hey, it was a position change, all that stuff, they're still a year apart. They're not going terribly different in cost, and it's about a half a round. I think the argument's plenty there for the two of them to be right next to each other. I think that's fine. Gun to my head, I don't know. I think I'm taking Waller over Kittle. Gun to my head. I think that's what I would do. But I totally get the other side of it and why you would do that. I think Waller's in a unique spot where he can absolutely dominate targets, which I'm not sure that happens with Kittle. So, and Kittle's going through a quarterback change. You have a little bit more uncertainty there as well. So that would sort of be my pitch for Waller. Again, if you want to go Kittle, it's fine going that way. Mark Andrews is one in this range, multiple top six finishes. He's 25, so he's on the younger end of these dense hits. So I think that's notable. Tight end six. Again, if I'm going to sort of do this range, I think that Kittle and Hockenson are probably the guys up at the top that I'm really pushing in on. And in terms of younger guys, the problem that I have with Andrews is I'm not sure that tight end, two is in his range of outcomes just because the volume is such a concern. He smashes on a per route run basis. I mean, he's as efficient as any guy out here in terms of all of that. And if you sort of adjusted for what the offense does, I think you're actually even, it'd make a stronger case from him because he doesn't have Mahomes like Kelce would. or Kelce does in his stats. So I do think Andrews is just, he's a super efficient player. I'm a huge Andrews fan. Have been a huge Andrews fan since he came out. And so that would be the you know, him in there and then Hockenson in there. I think those guys, you know, Pitts is going to be up there as well. I'll pass on Pitts for the other guys, especially if it's going to be at a plus cost, right? I mean, 305 is where he's going. Hockenson's going 509 and Andrews is going 508. So give me the shot. You know, if it's tight end premium, heck, could I double hit those guys in a trade down, right? Like that would be something I'd rather do, I think, than take Pitts that early. So, again, I could make core targets out of those two guys, Hockenson and Andrews. They stick out to me in pretty big lights. Again, I think the bet with Andrews is lots of safety. I think the concern might be the overall volume. So you get into the multiple top 12 finishers without the elite upside. I think that's a more interesting spot. You know, you got Gesicki, you got Henry. I think both those guys are probably in cap scenarios, though. I'm coming around on Gesicki. I'm sort of in and out. I'm kind of wishy-washy. I think 10's fair. I think him ahead of Henry's fair. Like, I think that those things are fair. When you compare who he's going against in some of these other spots, you know, he's going ahead of Logan Thomas. That's absolutely appropriate. You know, he's going right there with Goddard. He's going ahead of Ingram. You know, so I don't necessarily think any of those things are problematic. One guy that he's going right near, you know, in terms of tight end 10, Irv Smith, like I'm absolutely smashing Gesicki over Irv Smith just because we've seen it. Irv Smith feels like that huge, oh, we're going to expect a Ian Thomas type breakout. It just feels like it's kind of preordained at this point, and we kind of know what Gesicki is, and it's plenty top 10 viable. So I think the big question with Gesicki is going to be his extension. I think that's really the thing with Gesicki that I'm going to be watching over the next, you know, 6 weeks to 6 months type of range. He's going to be due, and this will be his final year in his contract. Is he maybe you know, maybe he doesn't necessarily walk out the door in 2022. Maybe it's a tag type situation. I think that that's possible too. But I really want to see them extend him, and I think that'd be really nice. So, we'll see there. I think it's a good story ultimately too. He really rough start to his career and has really come around. So I'm really watching for him. They've got a loaded offense. So again, it's in terms of some weapons on the outside, but I will say we can say that. We can say, hey, this is a loaded offense. He's got a lot of weapons, a lot of competition. Is Jalen Waddle going to be a huge target hog? Is Will Fuller going to be healthy? Is Will Fuller going to be not suspended? You know, we haven't – that Jalen Waddle profile, it kind of looks like Henry Ruggs, and that's not usually a particularly dominant target share type setting. You know, what do they have in terms of how elite is their running backs in terms of drawing targets? You know, they got Devontae Parker. Is he – anything special? You sort of keep going down, you're like, huh, if any of those things sort of break you know, towards the negative side, it just opens up a really solid opportunity for Gesicki to again post the sort of volume that's necessary to post a top eight finish, right? And that's the thing with Gesicki. I think he's underrated in terms of probably the safety, because that so many to tank him, to really drop him in terms of cost, it's going to take a lot of things to go right that are low odds. That's sort of the angle that I would have on it. So I think Gesicki is relatively safe. Again, I would love to see him extended, but that'll be something we'll watch for. All right. So then Hunter Henry, another guy I really like late, Jared Cook, you know, tight end 32. Like, you can make some pretty good business in this year with flex viable guys in that sort of tight end 25 through 40 range. So that's pretty interesting. The single hit guys, 21 years of age or older. So that's Higbee's actually in that range. He's 19.5. He's a smash for me this year. I'm a big Higbee guy this year. Ebron's going significantly later, 30.5. You know, he's got some competition there, with the rookie Freiermuth. You know, so that's you know, probably like a 1 year window for him, which is kind of where we're living with him. He's kind of a this generation's Jared Cook is sort of how I think about him. Dalton Schultz seems to be just totally undervalued. Finished his tight end 10 last year, and he's 40th in terms of RDP. I get Blake Jarwin's back. I get that it was like largely volume, but it was volume infused by not Dak. I don't know. That one's quizzical to me in terms of some of these best ball competitions, that sort of thing. Like, he's going to be one I'm probably going to be really interested in. And Logan Thomas is a clear sell. Listen, you can't run all those routes and do it that inefficiently and expect to repeat that. You know, he's basically who he has been his entire career as a tight end last year, except he got two times, if not closer to three times, what you would normally expect for him to run routes. Like, he's basically essentially exactly what we expected. If you're going to take the positive side, maybe it's that, you know, Fitzpatrick's a better quarterback, all those things. He hasn't really shown that much to matter. So that would be the other thing that I would say. So then the single top 12 seasonal finishes under 28 years old. So this is where Hockenson fits. There's a gap, about a round gap between him and Fant. It's actually opened up of recent. So they were running pretty close neck and neck for a while. And that's opened up a little bit for the advantage to Hockenson. I think that's appropriate. Goddard's in there ninth as well. He's going about a round after Fant. Two rounds after that is Ingram. Robert Tonyan's in there as well. Tonyan's an interesting one. The touchdown regression thing's absolutely real. But they haven't done a lot to make the volume different. And I was listening to some people I trust on, you know, the sort of actual mechanics of receiving, and they were like, yeah, he runs pretty good routes too. And, you know, I watch, but I can't, you know, that's not really my forte. I mean, it's interesting, but I think his is a regression type candidate. You know what, for example, him or Higbee at the cost, I mean, it's smash Higbee to me. So, David Joku, Hayden Hurst is another interesting one coming off a top 10 finish. And this was, he was like the flavor of the month, you know, not that long ago. He's 28, a little bit older, got that, you know, the baseball thing that happened with him there. You know, him and Joku super late there. We'll see if there's a change of teams coming in the next, you know, call it, 6 to 12 months, something like that. You know, I think it's possible that there's even a preseason trade. So either one of those guys would make an interesting upgrade in Buffalo, for example. And I know that that's something that they've been looking to do. So yeah, I mean, we'll look at, and I think both of them, they're on one-year windows at this point. So Joku's probably making more because, you know, I haven't looked it up specifically on the finances, but it's a fifth-year option. So I'm sure it probably puts him a little bit over where Hurst is with his option declined. All right, some of the rookies, Kmet, tight end, 14, Irv Smith, the non-hit guys, some of the younger guys, first and second year guys primarily. I've seen Adam Trautman being pushed up to, he's 23rd right now at the end of the 12th round. There's a gap between him and Cole Kmet that's basically a round, but it ends up being a whole bunch of tight ends, which I think is interesting. There's a tranche of guys in that sort of 10, 11, 12, 13 range that he kind of blends in with. Gerald Everett, if you're looking for kind of an arbitrage play, I think he's an interesting one off of Jonnu Smith. They look, if I sort of put their numbers in front of you, I know, like I looked at their stats, so I kind of have an idea which one's which. I couldn't pick out the difference. That's how sort of exactly the same they look. In terms of all their metrics. So I think he's an interesting one. If you're going 15.08 with Gerald Everett, that's interesting because you don't have to pay the advance cost of 11.04 for Jonnu Smith. So that's a four-round difference, and I don't think that there's any difference in terms of profiles. You actually have a better quarterback with Gerald Everett up in Seattle. You've got less competition for tight end targets in Seattle. So all those things, I think Everett's an interesting one as well. Keep going down here. You know, Tommy Tremble, 31st. He's going 17th round. That's one I like as a collecting falling pedigree. I'm off of Irv Smith. It's a 27% hit rate, and the market's got him at 65%. Like, those things concern me, and I get it. You know, he's Rudolph and all that stuff, but is Cousins good or not, right? Because everyone rags on Cousins, and it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. You want to sort of trash Cousins, that's fine, but now everyone's vaulting Irv Smith up. but it's Cousins, right? Like I'm a Cousins fan. I'm a Cousins believer. I think that's an interesting comparison. Blake Jarwin, notably, you know, going down to the day three guys, he is 25.5, well ahead of Dalton Schultz, which that seems odd to me. You know, I get that they paid him money, extended him, yada, yada. He came off a kind of not a great injury, and it's just an interesting quizzical thing that people just expect he's going to come back in and you know, cast Dalton Schultz aside. We'll see. I think that's an interesting market inefficiency. My man for the 2021 offseason, Anthony Firkser, he's going to approach Alexander Mattison level of ownership. Not quite, but I kid slightly, but I'm scooping him up wherever I can. It's an open situation where he has a potential to be the number two target in that offense. Super efficient last year, and those things are nuclear-type upside. And when you're coming from 26, nuclear-type upside doesn't necessarily have to be tight end one, but tight end six is a smashing success. I think that stuff's in the range of outcome. He's a little bit undersized, atypical pedigree or profile, I should say, coming from the UDFA range, the Ivy League. But I do think he has he has every opportunity that you could hope for. And you saw that happen last year. We saw this exact same story happen last year with Logan Thomas, and Firkser smashes Logan Thomas in efficiency. So if that is a potential opportunity, we saw basically this construct happen, you know, with it, with an offense essentially run through running backs at wide receiver one and a tight end who didn't cost very much. And, you know, we know the sort of upside and the possibility of that. I think Firkser has that in his range of outcomes this year, more so than I would have projected Logan Thomas to. So that's pretty much it. Kylan Granson's a guy that's getting some push, 45th. Noah Gray, 47th. Those guys are later. Zach Davidson, 49th. Just to highlight some of the rookies there. Later on, CJ Uzama is interesting, 42 later on, you know, see how that situation breaks out ultimately. But yeah, so that's pretty much the tight end position. So again, I think the sweet spot for me is like a Hockenson Andrews thing. If I was going to do like a super, like one of those safe league startups or something, I would hit, like I'd be interested in hitting them both and figuring out a way to do that. I think it's a really, floor ceiling combo. And, you know, it's going to be plenty flex viable in the format. And I think it's really interesting in terms of a building process to have some layering too, because that gives you the ability to make some deals. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.